Paul Meacham Jr.
American spokesman once said, "Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did." Sometimes we set the standard too low. We decide we should be finished with a job long before it's complete. And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing when it comes to our spiritual life of service to God. We can decide that we've done enough and quit short of the finish line. Now, today's study is designed to remind us that we're not finished doing God's will until life is over. Study with us today. We do encourage you to take your Bible, for we'll refer to it many times because it is our only source of authority and knowledge of God's revealed will. So get your Bible and a pen and a piece of paper and get ready to study together with us. Study I find very interesting, entitled "Not Far from the Kingdom." Our comment comes to us from Mark chapter 12 and verse 34, where Jesus looked at a man and saw the man's honest heart, saw that that honesty might bring him to the point where he would one day obey, and declared that the man was not far from the kingdom of God. Now, while we would find great comfort in such a declaration by Christ, I want us to be warned by it. I don't want us to be satisfied with being close to doing what is right. I don't want us to be satisfied with being close to being where we should be. Rather, I want us to require of ourselves that we be all the way obedient to Christ. Only by doing so can we please God. Now, we began our study from Deuteronomy chapter 34, and we read there that in verse 5 that Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. We looked at the life of Moses, at least the end of his life. We saw that Moses fell short of the goal, the promised land of Canaan that had been promised first to his forefather Abraham. That he got so close to it that he could see that promised reward, but he was not allowed to enter into it. That he fell short because of sin. His sin was that he failed to glorify God in providing water for the people. And because of that, he died in the land of Moab, not being allowed to enter that promised land of rest. Now, I like this study of different characters of the Bible, because a character study is usually very simple and straightforward. By looking at what other people who have actually lived did or failed to do, I not only see what God's will for man is, but I also have a demonstration, either of warning and how we should not go about fulfilling God's will, or an example that we should follow in obeying God's commands. So I find this study of characters to be very fascinating and very fulfilling. The next character we look at, our study for today, comes to us from Luke chapter 18. And we'll begin reading with verse 18. It says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." This again is a character study of one who had a goal, who had a good goal, but fell short of that goal. We'll ask the same five questions that we asked in the case of Moses. We ask, first of all, who it was that fell short. We will identify this man as the rich young ruler. Matthew 19 tells us that he was, in fact, young. Mark 10 emphasizes the fact that he was rich. And the text that we just read from Luke chapter 18 identifies him as a ruler. So we put those three together to identify this man as the rich young ruler, because we're not told his name. We then ask the second question, of what did he fall short? The answer in his case is that he fell short of eternal life. Do you recall what we just read from Luke 18 and verse 18? A certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He had a good goal in mind. He wanted that life that lasts forever. And he came to the right source. Notice in John 5 and verse 39, there Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." There were some of the Jews that would not accept Christ, and because they wouldn't accept him, they would be lost. Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures because you think you'll find eternal life in them." And they were right. There was eternal life there because they testified of Christ, and he is the source of that eternal life. In John 6 and verse 23, we're told that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, notice, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is telling us that he is the source of eternal life. So for this rich young ruler to come to him seeking eternal life was not only a worthy goal, but he came to the right place. He came to the one who could tell him about eternal life. In 1 John 5 and verse 11, we read that this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. If you would like to have eternal life today, it's still available. It was available then, and it's available today. It's available in the same place. It's available through Christ. The third question we ask then is, how near did he come? He wanted eternal life. He came to the proper source of eternal life. How close did he get to his goal? How close did he come to obtaining eternal life? The answer in this case is that there was only one thing that stood between him and eternal life. I find it very interesting that God hasn't come short of any of his promises. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, near the end of his life, Joshua says, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth," meaning he would soon die. And he says to Israel, "You know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." When God does something, he does it all the way. He does not come short. And he requires the same of us. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, it says, "The first of all the commandments is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." You notice that Jesus didn't leave any room for us to come short. He didn't leave any room for even one thing to stand between us and giving all of ourselves to God. He requires all because he gave all. He died for us, died on the cross for us, loving us even when we were sinners. And he requires that we come to him with all of ourselves, all of our worship, all of our devotion, all of our service. We must not allow even one thing to stand between us and obedience to God. The rich young ruler, what was his sin? What held him back? What was that one thing that stood between him and his goal of eternal life? It was not the fact that he was rich. That would be an easy conclusion to draw. In fact, it is the conclusion that his disciples drew. Notice, if you would, Mark's account in Mark chapter 10 and verse 23. The disciples said, "How hard is it for those that have," or Jesus said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those that have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven?" Now, many misunderstand because this verse says how hard it is for those who have riches. Even his disciples misunderstood. Because if we looked down in the next verse, Mark 10 and verse 24, we read that the disciples were astonished at his words. They viewed the rich as the most blessed, the most obedient, the most worthy. But Jesus is saying, no, that's not always the case. And here we find that his disciples were astonished that a rich person would have difficulty in getting into heaven. Jesus explains to them by saying, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?" It's not the having of riches, it's the trusting in riches. And that was the sin that the rich young ruler committed. He committed the sin of trusting in his riches to do for him what riches of this earth could never do. Rather, he should have placed his trust in God. So what did he lack? What was his sin? He trusted in his riches. The fifth question then, what was his end? What happened to him? Well, the last record that we have is that he went away in sorrow. He went away sorrowful, very sorrowful, because he was very rich. Instead of his riches being a comfort to him here and something that he could use in this life for the good of mankind to do God's will, it was something that stood between him and heaven. This young man went away sorrowful because he was not willing to give up that trust in riches. I'm reminded by contrast of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He was taught about Jesus and the sacrifice that Jesus had made for him. Knew when they came to water that he needed to be baptized in order to be saved, and asked Philip, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he responded by saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, he went on his way, not sorrowful. He went on his way rejoicing. We have that same thing available to us today. If we choose to set aside those things that stand between us and God, even if there's only one thing, and we come to Him in faith, repenting and confessing, and being baptized into Christ, then we too can have the goal that this rich young ruler sought. We can have eternal life. We must come to Christ to find it. We must come to Him obediently to obtain it. But it is there for us if we are willing to humble ourselves before Him and do as He says.